Welcome into another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's 4th of July weekend coming up. We can't send you into the 4th of July without a new episode of Corner 3, as always presented by our friends at Mechdyne. Scott Christofferson, it's been a crazy couple of days. College sports can't go a holiday weekend without getting extremely drunk and doing something ridiculous. I'm about to head up to Minnesota this afternoon, and all I could think about yesterday was, of course, every time I'm going to go anywhere, there's going to be something crazy happening at the time when I'm about to leave. We're not going to talk about any of that stuff happening, though, but we did have Oshuniyi here on the podcast today, a really impressive guy and someone that I think both of us are really excited to watch play for the Cyclones this winter.
Yeah, really impressive kid. You can tell, very mature, articulate guy, obviously very talented. I would say, you know, it's still really early, but probably my leading candidate for my favorite player on next year's team. Just getting to know him a little bit in our interview with him, I was just really impressed with him.
Man, I tell you what, the talk about the shot blocking, the defending the paint, man, it gets me. Gets me sweating, man. I'm getting all excited.
He had a really good perspective, in my opinion. We asked him about NIL and the transfer portal, and he had some really interesting points of view on that and sharing his process on that. I thought that was one of the high points of the interview.
Absolutely. We won't delay it any further. We'll toss it off right now. Here's our interview with Oshuniyi. Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's Corner 3. We've got another special guest here on the podcast. It's another one of the new Cyclones. We had Jaron Holmes last week. He told us we had to get his boy, Oshuniyi, here on the podcast. So that's what we did. Oshun, what's up, man? How's it going here today?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. We have been looking forward to having you on here. Like I said, your boy Jaron was hyping you up last week. So we had to get you next. What's it been like being in Ames? What are the first few weeks been like for you?
I mean, it wouldn't say it's a lot to change, like area wise. I mean, Bonaventure is kind of like same, not a lot going on in Western New York. So kind of used to that part. Just being on campus and just being able to get in the gym and work out with the guys. That's been great the past couple weeks. So been enjoying it.
What have the workouts been like? Have they been tough? We've heard a lot about the soccer field and all that kind of stuff last year. What's that whole process been like?
I mean, right now is mainly just in the gym stuff. You know, that, I think that stuff will probably kick in the fall when we get back to school after the summer session is over with. But right now, I mean, it's different. It's a lot different. It's a higher level, so the work is different. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying everything that comes with it, you know, like down days when I'm feeling exhausted, just, you know, getting in the gym, just getting more shots up, all that stuff, enjoying all that stuff.
What's been your first impressions of, you know, a lot of new guys coming in, transfers, freshmen, and then obviously new coaching staff for you? What's kind of been your first impressions of everybody?
Oh, I mean, shoot, everybody's been great. I mean, I've been enjoying it. I mean, this is year 5 in college, so I've kind of seen everything you can imagine of being from a veteran team to being on a young team. You know, I've been basically through any team you think of. So, I mean, the only difference is new coaching staff. I mean, coaching staff here is great. It's a little different. They're younger. I had some older coaches. So it's kind of different, you know, being around young coaches, but I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's been fun. You know, the guys are great. And it's just an all around great time right now.
I want to take you back a little bit and then we'll work our way back up to Iowa State. I know you're a guy who, I think you started playing basketball a little later, didn't you, in your career? What pushed you towards the game of basketball? How'd you figure out that you loved playing the game? And when did you figure out, like, oh, man, I could actually be pretty good at this game?
I first played ball when I was in fifth grade. It's kind of like a local team that my mom had, like, heard about. And she was like, do you want to play? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, kind of just – signed up, wasn't really putting that much like effort into it. And was kind of just playing, you know, getting out of the house, just doing something to keep me active when I was younger. I mean, I didn't play after that for sixth, seventh grade, eighth grade. I transferred schools. And then I remember like the second day of school, the basketball coach was like a teacher. So I'm like standing outside in the hallway, just like waiting for class to start. She walks up to me and she goes like, you're going to play basketball. I'm like, confused. I'm like, okay. He's like, no, you don't have a choice. Like, I'll see you at tryouts. You're going to play basketball this year. And I was like, okay. And that was like, from that moment on, I've been playing basketball since, but I didn't take it serious until the summer going into like my senior year of high school. I had like a conversation with my high school coach, and we were talking, because at that point, like freshman, sophomore year, I kind of was just playing just to play, you know, like wasn't putting any effort in outside of like practices. Like after practice, I go home and I'm playing Xbox all night or playing video games. But I had a workout with him. After we worked out, he was like, you have a chance. Like, if you really take this seriously, you can make, you know, like a living off this, not saying NBA, but you can make some money playing basketball. And I think from that moment forward, that summer, I kind of just like really like locked in on basketball, like putting in extra work, like working out, went to like a couple camps and just kind of started playing AAU, not just locally. And that's basically where it started. And here I am now. So
I was going to ask that. So when did you start playing AAU? Like, when did you even into it where it's like, I'm full all the way into playing ball?
I mean, like when I got to high school, like there was like my teammates, my JV team, like one of my teammates' dads kind of had a team that we kind of just went to like local tournaments that were like 30, 40 minutes away from my high school where we lived at. So it wasn't like I was getting any exposure. We were just playing. Like, we weren't the best. We beat like the crappy teams, but like we get like against like a decent team and we get our butts kicked. But it was just like, we were just playing just to play together, mainly for chemistry for the season. It wasn't like, oh, we're playing to get offers. Like, it was summertime. Let's just play ball and just, you know, try to get some chemistry going. So that was kind of it for me. Going into after high school, I was kind of contemplating going to prep school. And that's kind of like where, like, well, junior year summer, I kind of played, like, I went to like Spooky Nook out in PA and like Philly U, a couple of tournaments. There were this one coach that I had for the New Jersey Soldiers. And then after that, when I kind of like had like one Division I offer, they were like, once you go 2018 to 2017, I come to prep school. I played with this team called South Jersey Select. And that's kind of like where, like, it was like full in locked in, like, we were trying to like win tournaments. Like, it wasn't just out there to play. Like, we were like, everyone was trying to get Division I off. Like, we were trying to play college basketball. That's everyone's goal. So at that summer, that's when like kind of like AAU kind of like was like in a full swing for me. That whole summer.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what, describe your game, your approach to the game a little bit. What do you plan to bring to Ames next year? And then give us a thing or two that you want to add to your game that you're working on this summer.
Oh, I mean, I plan to bring, you know, a great, you know, defensive, you know, energy. You know, I've been known for the past 4 years of being one of the best shot blockers, you know, in college basketball. I mean, I've been honored to be, you know, in that conversation. I pride myself in that. So I look, you know, to bring that, you know, here to Ames and be able to be that last line of defense, you know, on the defensive end, be able to block shots and alter shots and, you know, help my team win games on the defensive end. And then what I bring to add, I mean, Coach TJ and the coaching staff, they've been, when I came here on my visit, they kind of had a plan set out. You know, it was continue to work on the things inside, you know, like finishing around the rim, but expanding. And it's been a process. And there's been days where I've been struggling. And there's been days where I've been feeling really good shooting it. And TJ has been right there, you know, behind me, like, you know, making sure that I keep my confidence up and just keep trusting the process. And it's, actually, it's been going up. Like, I've been having great days in practice. So I'm shooting the ball, and even in workouts, just kind of feeling better and more confident in my shot. So honestly, just being able to expand my game offensively and be able to handle the ball on the perimeter more.
How did you kind of become that guy that's going to lock in on the defensive end? That's not the, you know, that's not the sexiest way to play basketball. Most kids want to, you know, they want to get buckets and they want to be showing off on offense. How do you become a shot blocker, a guy that's like, this is what I'm really going to take pride in on bringing to the team?
It's crazy because I was doing it since I first played basketball. Like, when I first played in that league in fifth grade, I was like maybe the second tallest kid on the team, and I was just blocking shots. Like, it wasn't like something clicked. Like, I've been like, did that eighth grade. I was like the tallest kid in the area. Everyone came and just blocked shots, high school blocked shots, like all the way through. Like, it's just been a thing that I guess I've had, and it's just progressively got better as I've been, you know, working on basketball. So it wasn't like I trained to be a shot blocker. Like, it just a knack. I just had it. It's just a normal feeling for me to block shots.
Jaren told us you're a guy that really likes to play to the crowd when you play the game. Do you feel like being a shot blocker like that, especially, is kind of one of those playing to the crowd things? It's like, you can really hype up the crowd. You get a big block, you know, 100. You do something on defense. Yeah.
100%. If you look at a lot of my highlights, if I get a block, I'm first thing I'm doing is looking at the crowd and trying to get them involved. I mean, especially home games, it kind of like, it's not even just for me, it's for the team. You know, you get the crowd involved and the team builds off that energy and they start to, you know, get more energy, start playing better. I mean, but for me, I block a shot and if I block out of bounds, like, of course I'm getting the crowd involved. And if you're even on the road, like I think I had someone had asked me like a couple of days ago, what was like, I guess like the best moment I've had in my career so far. And I would honestly say it was blocking Kihei Clark at Virginia in the NIT to basically like seal the game, blocking that shot and kind of just hearing that crowd just like die. And then just hearing our fans, that like group of our fans that was there, and I'd be able just to look at the crowd and just see they're dead and they're all pissed off. And me, I'm just talking trash to them as I'm running down the court. Like I said, that we just basically, you know, beat Virginia on their home court. So I think blocking shots for me is just fun because like home games gets the crowd involved, and then away games, I can just talk trash and it just helps get me going too.
I love it.
You mentioned TJ briefly a little bit. Talk about the recruiting process, why you chose to transfer to Iowa State. And he recruited me, and you know, I've talked a lot on the podcast. We've talked with other players about what makes him unique. But from your perspective, you know, what was that process like, and what was it like getting recruited by him?
I want to add to that question too. What did you know about Iowa State before they started recruiting you too?
I honestly Isaiah Brockington.
Yeah.
He came from Bonaventure. So the year before I got there, he was there and he went to Penn State. And then I you know, through the seniors that I played with when I was a freshman, they were really close with him. So I kind of, you know, knew of him, you know, heard conversations. So I kind of knew of him. So when he went from Penn State to Iowa State, of course, I know the guy. I'm going to keep an eye on him. And I last year watching him play and seeing how well he played and all that stuff, I kind of already had an idea about Iowa State, knowing what they, knowing what Iowa State was. But the portal process and getting recruited by TJ, it was, I guess it was in a way stressful, but at the same time, I felt appreciated in a way, because like, again, coming out of high school, I didn't have any, I had like maybe two Division I offers, and then one of them they pulled it away. And then I ended up picking one, and I only had one Division I offer to LaSalle, went to prep school for a year, and then stuff happened with the coaching staff, end up decommitting, and I had like a couple like mid-majors call me, and then end up going to St. Bonaventure. But when I first went in that portal, like as soon as my name went in the portal, like my phone blew up. Like from the moment the Twitter post went out, that verbal commit said I was in the portal, Iowa State called, like Coach Smith called me first, and then I talked to TJ maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, had a conversation with him. And it was just like hearing all these schools reach out, it was like, wow, like to see where I came from, you know, like no, barely any offers, almost went Division III and stayed in New Jersey if I didn't like LaSalle, to having Power Fives from almost every conference calling me, wanting me to go play for them, was like, wow, like I came a long way. And like my work has like been like, it just showed that my work is like shown. But the process with Iowa State, I mean, the coach at TJ was great. I mean, just conversations, like building relationships with my family and myself, like just, you know, checking in and not even making it about basketball. Like sometimes, like, you know, like I feel like most of the time, a lot of coaches kind of just like, you know, basketball, like it's cool, like it's important, but like he kind of made it like even like a balance between, like, you know, he'd call me like, you know, how was your day? Like, what you do? Like, what were you getting into today? Like, what you do today? Like just having conversation, building that relationship with my family and my parents and my youngest brother. And then when I came on a visit, it was me and my brother and my mom and my dad, and I think what really made the turning point was that they made my youngest brother feel like he was like going to be a part of the team. Like they basically made him feel like he was on the visit too. And that was kind of like, it made me feel like this was home, because my youngest brother is like, he's a younger version of me, and all my mini me. And like, he was like, they were asking questions, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he was just like eyes open, just excited about everything. And I think having that and seeing how he reacted to everything kind of made the decision a little bit easier about where I wanted to go. And I think I appreciate TJ and the coach staff for how they treated my family in the visit. It kind of helped a lot.
Was it overwhelming going through that process with all of the other schools? I mean, I've heard too how difficult it can be for guys to discern the difference between someone who like really wants you, someone who's just fishing, you know, someone who's just trying to make a call to show their bosses they're making calls, mm-hmm. and things like that. How difficult was all of that stuff? Just weeding through that.
It was stressful. I mean, like I said, like my phone was, I think I went in the portal, and I think for literally the next like 2 days straight after that, it was like phone call, hang up, phone call, hang up, phone call, hang up. And these conversations are maybe like 45 minutes long. And I'm having one conversation with one coach, and then I got to like save a number real quick so I don't text the coach the wrong thing. I got another phone number that I have no idea who it is. I answer that phone call. It's another coach calling me. And it's just like, it was stressful. But at the same time, like, for me, like, being like, it felt me for like a kid again, like being recruited out of high school. Cause like, you know, like, shoot, I got Power Five calling me. Like, coming out of high school, I had Division Twos and Division Threes reaching out, like maybe one or two, I had one or two. Two Division One schools like reach out to me. So like it was like me being a kid again, having all these Power Fives like, yo, like we want you, like you what we need, we want to build around you. Like it was like, it felt good like to get that like appreciation from people. But at the same time, me being, shoot, I'm 23, I'll be 24 in October, which is crazy to say, I think I was a lot more mature in the decision making. So I was able to again respect every coaches that reached out, you know, hear the conversations, and then be able to sit back and do my own research, you know, and look at the rosters and the playing style and how they play and who they play through and everything like that. And being in my position, I'm a grad transfer. I don't have 3 years of basketball left. This is it for me. This is the last one. So I couldn't go somewhere where like I get there and it's just not what I want it to be like. And then I basically just screwed myself, you know, like it was because like the whole process, like a lot of us, like if you've kept the story about the five guys in Bonaventure, like four of us that stayed, the one that went pro, we honestly like didn't want to leave, but like it was like we wanted to see what was out there, but at the same time it's like the fear of the unknown that my old coach told me about, like you never know what could be out there. Like you're a grad transfer, you got 6 or 7 months with that coach, like you could come in, be fine, and then by like November, December, he doesn't like you, he doesn't have to play you, like it's over, like he can just sit you on the bench and that's basically it. He's not obligated to play. He has young guys he can play. So I think it was a stressful decision, but I'm thankful that I had my support system, my family, you know, everyone helped me, my coaches that helped me through the process, and being able to find the right spot for me.
One of the hot topics that we've talked a lot about this offseason has been NIL. From a player's perspective, somebody who went through the portal, had a lot of people interested in you. How much of a factor was that in your decision, if at all?
I mean, with everything that's going on today, I mean, NIL is like basically controlling the transfer portal. I mean, it's basically the league, you know, league thing. Like no one's coming out with player development or you play this or you play that. It's we'll give you $50,000 NIL, get you a car, like you'll be set. Da, 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 da. Like it's starting to lean away from basketball. And I think for me, I mean, everyone likes getting money. Like you don't want to not, like everyone wants to get money. But I think for me, yeah, I listened to the NIL conversation, but for me, it's more player development. You know, like I want to be in the NBA next year. I want to be, you know, a year from now with some team getting ready for summer league, you know, getting ready to prepare for summer league, getting ready to play. So I think the money conversation was a factor, but it wasn't the leading factor for me. I wanted to know like what resources that you have for me that are going to help me so I can make myself a pro. Like, what are you going to do to help me so I can be a pro? Like, what are the tools and the plan set up for me? So I think NIL wasn't number one, but it was a conversation, but NIL wasn't number one for me.
But it's what all the coaches are leading with. That's their leading pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly say, like, out of all the schools that reached out to me, like, maybe, like, 75 to 80% of them led with, like, and I like you sign with us, we got you set for like money, like you'll get your money straight. Like some schools are like, we got a deal waiting, like they know about you, like you sign, you'll be straight. Like other schools are like, yeah, we take care of our guys, like, and you'll be fine, you'll be one of the main guys, you'll be taken care of. Like it was just like, I appreciate that, like you can't give me money, I understand that, but like let's talk basketball a little bit too, like how you gonna help me out, like how you gonna help me get ready to be a professional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah, it makes sense. It obviously helped Iowa State too that they had a pretty good recruiter in one of your close friends with Jaron Holmes. What's your relationship mm-hmm. like with him? What's it been like playing with him the last several years, and how much did he play in your decision?
Oh, I mean, me and Jaron, we've been close since he got when he transferred into Bonaventure our sophomore year. Came in tough, like he came in like tough blue, like blue collar guy, like came in like just being a great teammate. And then, you know, over the years, you know, sophomore year was like a bad year for us, you know, COVID hit, and then junior year, but he was always like through, I had some tough times my junior year, my sophomore and junior year. I was going through a lot with like, you know, personal stuff, like some like loss in the family. And he was like always right there with me, like lost a family member. And like, it was like, we had a game coming up and he was like, you know, do you know who you're playing for? Like, you got to lock in. Like, you know, I'm right here with you. Got your back through the whole game. Like, like he's watching over you. Like, I got you. So me and Jaren got real close, like over the years we were together. So him coming here, it was like, he was in my ear, but at the same time, he respected the decision, but he like, he was putting his pitch in like, yo, you come here, like they're going to get you right. They're going to help you. They're going to help you, you know, do what you want to do. Like they got the plan set out for you.
What's the scouting report on him? Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he claims to have dunked on you a week or two ago in practice. Can you,
let's clarify dunking on me. We're not going to say he didn't Ja Morant dunk on me, but it was like a fast break. And like, I kind of was in the area and kind of put my arm up and he kind of brushed through my arm, but I won't sit here and say he rose up like a Ja Morant and dunked over top of me. If you want to say I had my arms in the way and he blew through my arms and dunked with him, yeah, he dunked on me. But I mean, as a shot blocker, that it happens. So
hey, those small guys, man, if you're just in the general vicinity, they're going to say that they dunked on you.
Listen, I let him have it. I said, the moments he does dunk, it's like, you got to enjoy the moment. So I let him.
What's the scouting report on him as a player? What does he bring to the table for Iowa State this year?
He brings everything you need. Like, you need a leader, he's going to lead. You need someone to get a stop, he's going to get a stop. You need someone to get a bucket, he's going to get a bucket. He's a hard nose, like I said, blue collar guy. And he's had that since I've met him, and he's brought that here, you know. This is a new environment for him, but he's taking lead with the guys that came back, same as myself. And he's going to be everything. He's going to, you know, be that go-to guy, you know, be that guy that's going to lead and be, you know, the guy that's going to be looked at a lot to do a lot of things. And he's up for the challenge, and he's not going to shy away from it. And I got his back, and I'm right behind him. So he's going to bring everything.
He told us about, he talked a little bit about the VCU and St. Bonaventure rivalry. And obviously you're going to have one of your former foes in that rivalry joining the team here when he gets to Ames here in a couple of weeks. What's it going to be like playing with Hassan Ward instead of having to play against him?
Shoot, playing with him is going to be great. That's another shot blocker. Hassan's athleticism is like, it's insane because he has like a quick twitch. Like, you could think you got by him and then you're going to lay it up and he's waiting for you to put the ball up so he can throw it off the backboard. Like he's athletic. He's long. Like he's going to be a great piece for us. I mean, I got one up on him, you know, he's beat us a couple of times at conference, but we got that A-10 championship over him. So I got that up on him, but playing with him is another shot blocker, you know, hopefully doesn't steal all the blocks, you know, save some for me so I can get some too. But I think it'll be a great piece, you know, bring that athleticism and that defensive mindset with me being able to, if we can hold down the fort down there in the low blocks, it'll be really good.
Is anybody ever going to score on the paint on the two of you? With as much as it sounds like you guys are blocking shots.
Hey, listen, the plan is not to let anybody score, you know? So if he's blocking some and I'm blocking some, we're doing it at the same time. Hopefully we can, you know, be the best, you know, front court in the nation, hopefully. So
I love it. All right. I've got a couple quick ones for you and then we'll let you go. Who's your favorite basketball player?
Basketball player favorite would probably be Joel Embiid. I'm in bias, Sixers fan, but
it's mine too.
If I didn't have to say Embiid, I'd probably say Kevin Durant.
Man, when Joel obviously played at Kansas, and that was my first year covering Iowa State when he was there, and Wiggins was there, obviously. That's almost 10 years ago now. I've never seen a player like him at the college level. At his size, the way he could move, and he was still young and playing the game at that point, you know, like he's just, I have not seen any guy that can ever move the way that he does at 7 feet tall. He's unbelievable.
Sure.
Yeah. What's your favorite genre of music and who's your favorite musical artist?
I wouldn't say I have a favorite genre of music. All my friends call me an old soul because I listen to a lot of oldies all the time, but I mean, I have a mixture of everything. I mean, I wouldn't say I have like everything, but old school, new school, like rap, hip hop, R&B. Favorite artists, got to be Lil Uzi. I'm playing him if I'm working out, if I'm chilling. Like, usually I have him on my pregame, you know, playlist, but Uzi's my favorite artist.
Do you abide by Jaren's no rap before noon rule?
Oh, that's his thing. Like, that's only him. I mean, I won't say if I wake up and I want to listen to music, I'm going to automatically go to rap, but majority of the time I'm playing R&B. Like, yeah. If I'm just chilling and hanging out around, I'm going to play some R&B, listen to some old school. So, like I said, I have an old soul. So,
which arena besides Hilton Coliseum are you most excited to play in the Big 12?
Let's see. I've already played in Oklahoma. So I would honestly have to say either Kansas or Texas Tech. I mean, for me, outside looking in, like not being in the Big 12, always seeing like that pregame for Texas Tech, the swag surfing. So like being on the hostile side, it's going to be hard to not take that in and try to like look at that and go, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But probably either there or Kansas.
Cool. For sure. Scott, you got anything else?
Nope, I'm good. I'm good.
Shun, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here today, man. We look forward to catching up with you down the road and look forward to watching you play for the Cyclones this winter.
I appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.